Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show. God bless you, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. Full program as always. Before I forget, if you want to communicate with me, you certainly may. I welcome everything, criticism, comments, constructive or otherwise, contributions, which you can make actually online via PayPal at robinwalter.net if you'd like to do that. But to reach me, it's redskyradio777@gmail.com. redskyradio777@gmail.com. Well, you know, we start with good news. I don't have good news to end, except I have encouraging news to end, call to action news to end this. But my lead piece here today, it was really not an indication of where we're going with the program, but I was... Do I have a good something in the media here? Well, oddly enough, what I've picked on here is that the Vatican, the Pope, excommunicated Pope Francis's harshest critic. Now, why is that good news? Because when you have a difficult time being able to tell where people are going, what they're made of, what's the real person, and you get something that is dispositive. I think I used that on the Sunday morning program the other day. Dispositive, I mean, it disposes of the issue. You no longer have to wonder. And I didn't really have to wonder much about this Pope. I have routinely and derogatorily called him Poop Francis. I actually do not apologize for that, because he just serves up a whole bunch of turds in the punch bowl. Called modern-day Catholicism, I guess. I don't know. But he did something here by kicking this guy out of the church for schism, meaning causing a problem, causing a division, which is what the left always says when somebody on the right speaks the truth. They say, why are you so divisive? Well, because the truth is divisive. Isn't that what Jesus said? I didn't come to bring peace, I came to bring a sword. It's going to set father against son and mother against daughter. Why? The truth. The truth divides, but the ones who are actually attempting to divide humanity from God are the left in every way, shape, or form. But when you then challenge that, they call you divisive. You're divisive. Well, you know what? Glory, hallelujah. What part does light have with darkness? What part does sin have with righteousness? Why should we hang around your place? The word says, come apart from them and be ye separate. What is this schism that this particular Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, what did he do? What's the truth that he declared? That now Pope Francis has come out to excommunicate him. Well, it's because he's standing up for biblical sexuality. No queer crap, no tranny crap, none of this messing around with the chromosomes. He's a hardliner where you should be a hardliner, and that is sticking to God's word. Pope Francis can't handle it, so they kicked him out of the church. So to me, while I have sometime tried to give him a measure of deference, this simply completes the analysis. The investigation is over. The Pope is from hell. He has nothing. He is never right about anything anymore. Not at all. U.S., you shouldn't be putting up borders to people wanting to come there. Yeah, well, Pope Francis has got a gazillion guards and a mile-high fence around the Vatican. He's safe and protected from all the people, but he doesn't want anybody else to be. Sort of like Sotomayor pulls out that gets the U.S. Marshal's office to shoot a guy in the mouth who was attempting to steal a car, I guess, down the street from her house. She's got people out there protecting her with guns, but she doesn't want us to protect ourselves with guns, nor does Biden, because the Second Amendment stands between us and totalitarianism, dictatorial, tyrannical, communist, fascist, call it whatever you want. There's no difference between communism and fascism. I can't go down there. I got teased there. But so this is good news. And I loved the Babylon Bee. Go check it out if you want a comic relief with a biting satire that puts forward an excoriating truth which the left can't handle. Check those guys down in San Diego out. They came out with a piece the other day. I loved it. Quote, Pope excommunicates bishop on suspicion of being a Christian. Oh, my. I love it. I love their humor. I love satire. Google tried to shut them down. Because you can say in one sentence a mountain of truth. Funny, biting, incisive, excoriating. It strips the masquerades off the left. And they get angry. Because it's the truth. Well, okay. Here we go. We're going to go down the... Hey, this is Queer Month, right? Queer Pride, the ones who take pride in committing sodomy and all sorts of things abominable, according to God's Word. And so we are going to cover some things here. Before we get to, Biden, Trump, and so forth, I got some things we are going to cover, all in the honor of Pride Month. Pride Month for slamming your fist up another guy. You know what? I can't go there. It's a family show, isn't it? So California has a bill that would increase penalties for child sex trafficking and the solicitation of sex from minors. That sounds good, right? And I think that it is. I haven't read the bill, but that's the intent of the bill. Personally, I think it was prompted by Gavin Newsom in an intentional pivot. He's trying to pivot to the center to gain national appeal, and he's got to call and put forth something that he's done well, of which he has nothing. So he's got this bill, which sounds pretty good. Who opposes it? Fierce backlash. From who? The LGBTQISTUVWXYZ community. That's who opposes, catch this, opposes increased penalties for soliciting sex from minors and child sex trafficking, a.k.a. forced grooming. They oppose it. They said, this is going to disproportionately impact marginalized communities. Yeah, it's going to disproportionately. Who are the marginalized communities? Well, apparently they think it's the queers. So if the marginalizing community children, who is being disproportionately affected by a bill to protect children from sex trafficking and soliciting sex from children? Who's disproportionately affected? They've admitted. They are. They're the ones. But that, it doesn't look, if you're going to pass a bill that's going to protect these kids, but the bill disproportionately affects us who are out there trying to groom and sodomize these kids. This is how stinking sick queers are and the left. I mean, so they go on to say, we are concerned that the harsher penalties contained in this bill will disproportionately impact marginalized communities, particularly black and brown individuals who already bear the brunt of systemic biases within our criminal justice system. Blah, 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 same old racist crapola, which it just sort of makes me want to puke. And the minute I see this, I just thought, you know, all right, next, who's in line? But do you hear what they're saying? They are saying that a bill that is going to increase the penalty on those who are sodomizing minors, going to minors for sexual favors, sex trafficking and grooming to raise up the new generation of sodomites. You know what they're saying? Saying those ones that are doing that are disproportionately black and Hispanic. That's what they are saying. It's affecting the marginalized communities of the black and Hispanic are already feeling the brunt of systemic racism. Ah, stuff it. I am so sick of hearing that crap. But do the blacks and Hispanics hearing this program hear what they're saying about you? They're saying that you are the ones that disproportionately participate in illicit sexual behavior with minors and grooming and sodomy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the bottom line here is, no matter what the evil is, if the ones committing the evil are apparently queer, black, or brown, then correcting the problem is disproportionately affecting queers, blacks, and browns. I mean, do they even realize just how stupid they really are? I mean, let's just take another example. Let's say 40% of all the laundries in L.A. are run by Asians. That's just, I don't know how many, but there's a lot of them. But there's a health problem raised with all the laundries. All the laundries, I don't know, maybe they find out that starch is a carcinogen. Or who knows what the heck it is. I'm just making this up. So they take corrective action towards the laundries because of the health concern, but then they rise up and claim it's racist because it disproportionately affects Asians because they're most of the ones running the laundries, or disproportionately the ones running most of the laundries. I'm making this up. So the queers, not trying to, they know they can't stand up to their queerdom because they're the ones that are involved in the sodomy of young kids and the grooming. They drag in blacks and Hispanics as being disproportionately affected by a bill that would increase the penalties for committing sodomy. Pervs. Gosh, it's just... Okay, you know what? Here's an educational moment. We know Joe Biden has dementia. What's dementia? Dementia is a kind of an organic loss of cognitive capabilities, typically happening over a period of time for, I don't know, various reasons, some of which we probably don't know. Guy's just kind of going off the deep end. But look up, but dementia and demented are kind of close, aren't they? But demented is crazy. Demented is insane. Demented is mad. Demented is being angry beyond reason or explanation. Demented is LGBTQRSTUVWXYZQQ++AQQ. Who knows what other sexual aberration they want to append to that moniker to justify things that God calls an abomination. Well, anyway. Now, on to something that's of another concern. The Chinese Communist Party. Chinese companies now are testing automobiles in the United States on American roads. These are the autonomous, driverless vehicles. So if they crash, you know, they don't lose a Chinese guy in it, I guess. But the autonomous driving vehicles, they're out there testing them overwhelmingly in California. And then also a little bit in Arizona and Nevada because they're right next door. So they are up to 1.8 million miles in California so far, according to data from the state's Department of Motor Vehicles in California, that that they've cruised around the state. And these vehicles, this is a point here, the vehicles are equipped with, one, advanced cameras. If you're testing the vehicle, I don't know, maybe you'd need the cameras. Two, sensors. And three, mapping technology. Capable of collecting massive amounts of data about their surroundings, including, as Breitbart reports, detailed video footage and precise geospatial information. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't really know what geospatial is. I just know that what they're doing is not good based on all the other things they're doing in addition to it. So they got seven different companies that are testing these vehicles that are Chinese-owned or largely significantly Chinese-owned, if not exclusively. And, you know, I made a mistake. I said Arizona and Nevada. It's actually Arizona and Texas are the other two states, which just happens to have, a ton of military facilities in Texas. So these Chinese self-driving cars, where all does the data get stored that they're collecting? Not in the U.S., folks. Stored in China. This is according to policies reviewed by Fortune magazine. And it doesn't stop there. I mean, Craig Singleton is a director of the Foundation for Defense of Democracy. Says, quote, the potential uses of this data range from mass surveillance to detailed mapping that could aid in war planning. And we just have these guys cruising around the southwestern U.S., bumping up against 2 million miles, faking it like people probably think they're Google cars because they got cameras going around, but detailed mapping. We have been sold out to our enemy. I mean, people are so stupid and evil that are in charge of things in this country. There's really no way that this republic can survive. Now it's going to get a lot worse than better, you know. Okay. All right, that was just simply a little bit of a break because now we're back to the homo trail. All right? Yep, we are. This one is amazing. And it deals with a man by the name of Mike McCormick. And Mike McCormick was a stenographer for the White House. With Joe Biden, when he was vice president, he was there during Trump. And he gave an interview the other day. And I'm just going to read from the WorldNet Daily piece here on this. It said, Mike McCormick, a former White House stenographer who worked with Joe Biden, claimed during an interview that Biden used potential damaging information to manipulate Barack Obama. Now, this is a quink. This is a twist, right? That we have all along contended and felt that Obama's the puppet master, and he may be. I still think he kind of is, but he doesn't hold all the cards over Joey Corn Pop. This is a situation where truth is stranger than fiction. Did you ever wonder why on earth Barack Hussein Obama would pick Joey Corn Pop Biden as vice president? The guy's an idiot. He's always been an idiot. He was an idiot before he had dementia. That's only accelerated the demise. He's always had a foul mouth. He's never been he's not smart. He was a liar. That's why he jumped out of the first presidential campaign from plagiarism. Multiple lies since then, all preceding being president. He's from a state that is about as blue as you get. Delaware is never going to vote for a Republican. Barack, baby, B.O. himself, did not need Joe Biden to win that election. He didn't need Delaware. It's already blue, and it's a dinky state with hardly any electoral college votes. So why would he pick Joe Biden? Here is Mike McCormick, the former stenographer in the White House, supposition, position, and well-tended opinion on the matter, that actually it was Biden who held the leverage over Obama when Obama picked him. And this is what Mike McCormick says. He alleges that Biden threatened to expose Obama's homosexual affairs unless certain conditions were met, wielding this information as a tool for political leverage. Because McCormick is the former White House stenographer, working closely with Joe Biden during his tenure as vice president, was responsible for accurately transcribing speeches, meetings, notes, other communications involving Biden and other government officials. So McCormick claims that Biden discovered this scandalous information about Obama's private life early in the partnership and used it to ensure his place as a close and indispensable advisor, a.k.a. i.e. vice president. Now, we've known about Obama's queer proclivities for a long time. What if that guy was in Chicago? I mean, the one guy we know about, Lawrence. No, I can't even think of his name. Lawrence was his first or last name. I can't even think what it is now. But according to these allegations, McCormick said that the evidence lies in the Air Force One passenger manifest. Because of all the trips Obama was making by himself back to Chicago where the queer lover was. But that Biden knew about this and used it as leverage all the way into the VP slot. And you know why this makes sense? Because as I started this piece, there's no reason in the entire world for BO to have picked JB. A loser, liar, from a state he doesn't need and doesn't have many electoral votes anyway. He added nothing to the ticket except apparently that was, according to McCormick, the price of the blackmail. So in the interview, he's asked if he believes that Biden was blackmailing Obama with homosexuality. McCormick's answer, yes. So there you go. I mean, I don't know if it's true, but it's a pretty high-level, credible source, a former White House stenographer, validating what we already knew about Obama's queer proclivities. Bisexual, I guess, give him a break on that one, maybe. However, it does explain something that I could never figure out. Why did he pick him? Now, I can tell you that numerous times on this program, I provided a reason why I thought Obama picked him. But it was always in jest. You know, I mean, it was, I wasn't serious. I thought that, and what I said was that Obama picked Biden because Obama needed to look good. And why not have a dork next to you like Biden? Biden only made him look more presidential, for sure. He was always going to eclipse JB. I assumed that it was a narcissistic basis that was what triggered Obama to pick Biden. This I have never heard, and now it's coming out. You know, it says in the Word of God about exposing the works of darkness. Well, that's actually a command to us as Christians and how often we don't have the guts to do it. Well, I try to as much as I can as far as this microphone reaches. But then sometimes God just uses those who don't know him, others that are in the mix, like neurosurgeons visiting Obama at the White House, like CNN having that debate, which was the death knell for Joey Corn Pop. Well, I want to consider here in the next few minutes, what is the, well, the essence of the evil that resides within the Democrat Party. I'm going to give you three pieces here quickly that are going to shock the daylights out of you. Maybe it won't shock you. It didn't shock me. It just, what shocks me is that these, not that these people feel this way, but that these people have the guts to say this. Bette Midler, who I couldn't give a rat's rear end about her anyway, she's suggesting that Biden arrest Republicans and allow the FBI to use, you ready, deadly force to regain Democrat House majority. In other words, what she's saying is so fearful that Donald Trump is going to win, but more than that, that the House is going to have a larger Republican majority, calling on the woke DEI, left-wing, deep state FBI to use deadly force. And this is a woman who accuses Trump of initiating an insurrection, which it wasn't, because nobody was armed. I don't even want to get into that. It's so stupid. So accuse the J6 people of insurrection, but then turn around and encourage the FBI to use deadly force to take over the House. Isn't this insurrection? Shouldn't Bette Midler, piece of crapola that she is, what she stands for and everything else, shouldn't she be arrested for conspiracy to commit insurrection? Well, isn't it pretty obvious that she should be? But it only works one way in this country. Let's move on to David Aronovich. Works for the BBC. And you can make up whatever you want to stand for the BBC. He hosts a program there, and he's calling for Biden to have Trump murdered. He's saying that after the Supreme Court decision regarding presidential immunity, Biden has immunity as an official act of the government to protect the government, protect democracy, to simply assassinate Donald Trump. Well, Britain's so screwed up anyway. Why would we take any clue from those yin-yangs? But then we move on to Leah Delaria, who supposedly is the star of some program called Orange is the New Black. Couldn't care less. Couldn't pick out Leah Delaria in a police lineup. So what does Leah come out with? Calling on Joe Biden to assassinate Donald Trump. The words, blow him up. Arrested? Of course not. Do we let this BBC guy come in to the country? Of course we do. Arresting Bette Midler? Of course not. Of course not. It's a one-way street. We aren't a republic anymore. We are a banana republic, if anything. Well, all right, let's move on to the electoral politics. If we even have a real election coming up, if we don't, if Biden is still in and he wins, we know without any evidence, no evidence is required, that there is cheating. Texas secede, Oklahoma secede, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, Wyoming, North Dakota, Montana, Idaho, Alaska, Arizona, Mississippi, Georgia, Alabama, Arkansas, Tennessee, Missouri, Kentucky. Leave. Florida, leave. Let's form a new country. It would be the patriotic thing to do. It's called self-defense. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
We are back. All right. Well, I got to pick up on something from before the break. The crime, the criminal aspect of all of this, I could encourage whatever I list off, 18, 19, 20 states to get the heck out of here. Am I encouraging throwing over the United States government? No. I'm just saying leave. Don't have to throw them out, overthrow them. I don't see that. I don't see it biblically, constitutionally. There's no harm in leaving. But I could theoretically, I suppose, get in trouble for advocating that position while you have these libtards like Bette Midler and whatever, Leah, whatever, Dilateria, and then the BBC guy calling for the execution and assassination of Trump, whether he's president or not, just calling for the assassination of a person. Will they be investigated? Will we ever hear about it? Is the FBI that gone, or are they that incompetent? I mean, what does FBI stand for? Feckless batch of incompetence? Well, I'd like to think not. Well, so what do we hear? We hear all the time, Donald Trump convicted of 34 felony counts. You can't read an article on Yahoo written by a pack of Yahoos or any place else written by virtually anybody other than Newsmax people and some Fox people. You never hear of, you can't read anything about Trump without working in the felony convictions. Have you once heard on MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, ABC, which was the All Barack channel when he was in, NBC, which is nothing but crap, and CBS is crappy broadcasting system, then you get into CNN, the Communist News Network, and so forth. Have they ever once, even once, put convicted felon in front of Hunter Biden's name in a story? But they always put convicted felon in front of Trump and the number. He's supposedly eminently unqualified to serve, having been convicted in a kangaroo court, which I would consider, frankly, a prize, an award, an achievement, sort of like how I hold in high esteem having been kicked off YouTube. I wear it as a badge of honor. Never, never do they put convicted felon in front of Hunter Biden, but always in front of Donald Trump, and then throw in the number. And consider the fact that convicted felon Hunter Biden has more felonies to be tried on, and supposedly Trump is not competent, but we got this convicted felon Hunter Biden actually functioning as chief of staff for Biden. He's turned into the doorkeeper. Nobody gets past Hunter. Convicted felon controlling the door, the gates to the presidency and the administrative staff underneath him. But we have to be concerned about Trump. So, well, I don't know. Maybe Biden, Hunter, is there because somebody has to make sure that no one interrupts Joey's sleep right? I mean, right, he's not ready till 10. He's only ready after 4. You know, nothing happens after 8, which, of course, actually, I think that means 8 a.m., not p.m. So he puts Jill Biden out there. You know, he's put Jill Biden's love of being first lady ahead of the best interests of the country. But let's not dare interrupt his speech or his sleep, which apparently is the only job actually in controlling the gates of access to Hunter Biden is qualified to do. Control access. Otherwise, he's stoned or what have you, or busy hiding hash or heroin or cocaine somewhere else in the White House like they found a few months ago. Now, on our political thread here, I'm going to say something here that I did not think I would say. I actually, for once, have a compliment to pay to Mike Pence. Not been a Mike Pence fan at all. But he said something, and I like what he said. I despise the motive, because the motive behind him, I think, is to simply dig more at Trump. But what he said was that he slammed Republican National Committee platform as being a, quote, profound disappointment because of its shifting stance on abortion. All Trump dictated. It was. He's saying, now, mind you, I couldn't possibly agree more with Trump on the immigration, on the inflation, military issues. I disagree with him on the fact is he blew up the budget as much as Joe Biden has as far as national debt. He's been wrong on debt. He's wrong on homosexuality. And he's wrong in his middled and muddled position on abortion. And he's forced a change in the Republican National Committee platform. He has. I've read it. It's short. It's brief. But what does it say? It says they make a point of stating that the Republican Party is pro-life. We're pro-life. But they also state in there that they are decidedly against late-term abortion. What does that say about first trimester and second trimester and whatever part of the third trimester would not be considered late term? Isn't the sometimes you say more by not saying anything at all. And the Susan B. Anthony, they say, well, you know what, we're okay with it. There's compromise going on from some serious pro-life people to accommodate Donald's platform position on abortion. And why? Because he said, if it doesn't change, we lose. So he's putting a compromised abortion position. He's never been a strong pro-life president. What he's saying is probably not disingenuous. It probably actually reflects his middle-of-the-road position. I'm definitely against late-term abortions, partial birth abortion. I guess that against that, I'm not against for rape or incest or what have you. But keep in mind that when you move left on a topic like this, even incrementally, you don't go backwards. It's a ratchet. The Republican Party, to me, is starting to remind me of what the Whigs did in the mid-19th century. The 1850s, the Democrats were all pro-slavery. The Democrats have always been the pro-slavery party. They've been the Jim Crow party. The Ku Klux Klan was formed by Democrats. It was Democrats that opposed the 1968 Civil Rights Bill. They've always been on the wrong side of this issue. The Whigs in 1854 or 57, I forgot the exact year, couldn't decide whether they would be an abolitionist party. They didn't want to be pro-slavery, but they couldn't figure out where to land They did not take a principled position. So what did they say the election was about in 1860? The economy. It's where Bill Clinton got it. It's the economy, stupid. And what happened as a result of their muddled and middled position? That was when the Republican Party arose, was formed, and put forth Abraham Lincoln as their candidate. An unabashed, unbridled position opposing slavery. I mean, there were a lot of other issues involved, trust me. And the South wasn't doing everything wrong, but that was a feature of the Republican Party platform that got them elected because the Whigs dinked around in the middle and couldn't come up with a principled decision. I see the Republican Party having yielded. I have to tell you, I almost would be ready for a ignominious defeat. An embarrassing, horrible defeat, and stay principled. Let the chips fall where they may. Let God just hurry up and accelerate the judgment of this country so we can move on to something else and maybe the phoenix rises out of the ashes. I don't know. But then to let the left continuously yank and tease the right down its path to not be drastically different, but just hopefully be enough different to pull people over. It's what's caused public education to be government education, all consumed with sex this and feelings about that and queerdom. It's yanked churches to the left, communities, schools, and now the Republican Party. And Mike Pence laments this development. He's right, but I think he's right for the wrong attitude. He can say it now. Because he's not at the Republican National Convention. He's got nothing to lose. But he is correct. And Trump is making a big mistake here, because we can't go. What's the next issue which you will compromise on to simply try to gain more votes, to try to get control? You know, the Lord just gave me an analogy here that I think is absolutely on. Well, if he gave it to me, if he really did, then it is on point. Let's go back to the mid-19th century. Let's suppose, all right, you got one party that's absolutely pro-slavery, like the Democrats are full-on pro-abortion. It's the Gavin Newsom party. You make them, we scrape them. No fetus can beat us. Bring your body to California, and we will participate in, subsidize, and enjoy the destruction of your posterity. That's party number one. Party number two, which has had some compromise but has historically been pro-life. So going back to 1857 or 54, whichever it was, you got a pro-slavery party, and you have a party that wants to be and stick with being an abolitionist party, anti-slavery. But they don't dare to go that way, so what do they do for political acceptance? They say, and I'm just as an analogy, they say, let's just have the states decide whether they want to have slavery. We'll kick abortion back to the states, we'll kick slavery back to the states. Missouri, you want to be a slave state? That's fine. Iowa, you want to be an abolitionist state? That's fine. Let the states decide in which state slavery is legal. That's the position the Republican Party now takes. Now, I don't mind, and I love the Supreme Court decision that has released and freed some states to do the right thing. But to now take that up as the end game and let that now be the status quo, you're not going to have any pro-abortion states become pro-life states. But you're going to have activities inside the pro-life states to become pro-abortion states. And God will simply judge us accordingly. Well, what does it tell you? Going back to Trump here, back in a bit of his defense, what does it tell you when every single one of our enemies hates Donald Trump? Putin comes out, he's for Biden because he's weak. And Democrats are compromised, which is partly why they're weak. When all your enemies support one person, doesn't that tell you the other guy is the right one? It's sort of like when I got saved. My last year in college, I couldn't figure out what was right. I just went to the University of Michigan to find a girl. I just wanted a date, have fun. But the times, the 70s were bad. Vietnam War and all that garbage going on. I didn't know what was right. But I knew I knew my professors were screwed up, all to the left of Fidel Castro. And what did that do? It sent me searching in the exact opposite direction, which ended up ultimately leading to my salvation. So in an odd way, I sort of thank the anti-American leftist environment in Ann Arbor in the 70s on my salvation. Because I knew they were screwed up, I wanted something different. So what does it tell you? In like fashion, when every one of our enemies wants Joe Biden, doesn't that tell you that Donald Trump is the right pick? I think so. Well, Trump's picks. Now keep in mind, this program, because of a scheduling problem with a guy who actually generates the programs, gets them on the air, distributes them around to different places, he has had to leave and go on some travel. And I am being forced here on a Wednesday afternoon to do this program, desperately fearing that tomorrow Trump picks a vice presidential candidate and everything that I'm going to say right now doesn't mean boo. Or when you hear it on Saturday or Sunday in different markets, that it will be irrelevant because of what Trump has picked. Right now, supposedly, it's Vance, Burgum, and Rubio. They're all wrong. I hope Trump is doing what others have done, put out three or four people, get the media chasing after them, and then pull a quick switcheroo and pull out the right person. All three of these represent states that are already in the red column. He's not picking up any electoral votes with any of these three white dudes. Yeah, I said that, because here's his dilemma. The RNC would actually really prefer that they scheduled their convention later so they can figure out what Biden is going to do. Is it going to be Biden and Harris? Is it going to be Harris and somebody else? Who knows? Because if it's Biden and Harris, Trump can pick somebody different and to his advantage, which would probably be just as good or better than these three. He could pick somebody else. If Harris is the candidate, he could pick somebody else as VP that better situates, better affords him the chance of winning. Somebody with more melanin, and I'm not talking orange. I'm talking brown or black, which I've always felt we've needed conservative, articulate Hispanics, blacks, and maybe in this case Indians to step up and be the voice and vision of the Republican Party. You go back to last week, you know, I was pushing Ramaswamy and Byron Donalds. Maybe as a ticket. They're still my first choice. I'm not anti-Trump, but they've always been my first choice because they are more moral, they're more reduced the size of government, and on everything that Trump is right, they're right there with him. It's just that they're better on the things that Trump is wrong on. So that's his dilemma. He picks too early and he picks the wrong one. Who sits on the top of the Democratic ticket? Because I will tell you, if Kamala Harris is the presidential candidate, Trump will lose with Vance, Burgum, or Rubio. Rubio may add some Hispanic vote, yeah, but it's not going to be enough. It will not do it. He's going to need Ramaswamy or Donaldson on that ticket. You need either one of those two guys as Trump 2.0. They will be Trump's insurance policy, because they'll take Donald Trump before they'll take Ramaswamy or Donaldson. Believe me. And Donaldson is going to bring in yet more black vote. Ramaswamy, all minority votes will be heightened, I think, by him. And like I said, Donald is too white to have somebody with the same amount of melanin on that ticket with him. I don't say that in a facetious manner or a compromising manner, because we have absolutely great candidates that have that additional benefit, that additional favor. Because Donald making an erroneous mistake here, and what is he doing? This is really bugging me. Biden is at the NATO summit, speaking and acting very presidential. Trump does not know what to do. He's shut out of the media world. It's almost like he isn't running. So what does he do? He goes off and does something ridiculously stupid. I wish I could advise this man. He proposes a golf tournament, no holds barred, with Joe Biden. He'll give Biden 20 strokes. And if Biden wins, Trump will give Biden $1 million to the charity of his choice, which is probably Planned Parenthood. So he's acting stupid, searching for media time, while Joe Biden looks presidential. Oh, my gosh. Donald, knock it off. Well, I want to finish with something encouraging. And I got to read it fast. Because what is this all about? Last week he had a piece dealing with Independence Day. This is the Independence Day conclusion. I want to look back on that holiday now, because I want to give you inspiration going forward. Not what was it about then or on that day, but what is it about going forward? This from Tim Schmidt, and I'm going to quote it. For there he sat, trying to get comfortable on the rocks. The forest was empty around him. None of the squirrels or deer could tell that this 60-year-old man, who was now living in the woods with them, had just signed the Declaration of Independence. They didn't know he was the Speaker of the New Jersey General Assembly. They didn't know that the British advances into New Jersey in the cold winter of 1776 had forced him to flee into the mountains. They didn't know what bothered him most at that moment. For just miles away in Hopewell, New Jersey, his 12 living children were surviving on the family farm without him. It was a rough time for John Hart. A few months earlier, their mother had passed away, and it was a rough time for the Hart family. A few months earlier, their mother had passed away from a sickness. 12 children. He's not there. The British redcoats and their hired German mercenaries would soon ransack the Hart home. And now John was exiled to the mountain wilderness to avoid being killed by the British. And all because of what? Because he dared to sign the Declaration of Independence. Was this freedom worth all the trial? I can only imagine that question went through his mind many times as he tried to sleep in the woods. For a man like that, freedom is worth the trouble. The man writing this email, Tim Schmidt, says, I wrote this email for you because it's easy to get caught up in the fireworks, the hot dogs, and the good company on Independence Day weekend. Those are all good things. But let's not forget what the men who signed the Declaration of Independence went through. They put their lives and their life savings on the line. Not for themselves, but for their loved ones. For people they would never even meet. People like us. As another founding father put it, I prefer peace, but if trouble must come, let it come in my time so that my children can live in peace. That is the spirit of Independence Day, which is not only an honor to those behind, but I'm saying this today specifically, I saved it for this week, to be an encouragement. If trouble comes, let it come now. Let it come upon this country when, let it get as bad as it's going to get, get bad right now. So we have a chance. When we have firearms, we've got people, we've got good motives, pure motives, godly motives, not to overthrow a government, but to defend ourselves against the tyranny that's upon us and is about to be multiplied three or fourfold, let it come now, so that what we can do is to allow our children and our grandchildren to hopefully have a chance to live in peace. Because if we don't act, they won't have that chance. This country will be gone. But maybe our children and grandchildren, with the grace of God, might fight the battle that we should be fighting now. This is not time to pull back, to slack, to go into a hole, climb into a cave. It's time to get out, proclaim the word, and do what must be done. To having done all to stand there for, to speak up. And doggone it, if we have to go live in the woods and leave our children alone to spare ourselves for the cause of freedom, so be it. God bless you all. I love doing this program, and I love you. Sit tall in the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.